The day began in a queue, which is where most things begin here, when you are still learning the system. I was at the bank, the Riyadh Bank branch on Prince Sultan Road, because my Mata card had decided to stop speaking to my phone app, and the teller, a young man with kind eyes, needed to see my passport, my ICAMA, my national address certificate, and perhaps, I thought, a sample of my handwriting. He did not need that, but he did need a patience I was still cultivating. And he smiled when I finally produced the right slip of paper. The whole exchange took half an hour, and the fee to replace the card was 25 riyals, about $7, which felt like a small tax on my own haste. Outside, the air hit me like a warm blanket pulled over the city, and I decided that today, the fourth day of my settling, I would not fight the heat. I would wait for the evening, when Jeddah exhales. So I went home to the small flat in Al Rada, the one I have rented for 2,500 riyals a month, around $650, and I closed the curtains against the pale, overcast glare. The flat is modest, a bedroom, a sitting room, a kitchenette, but it has a balcony that faces the street, and I have learned that at dusk, if I sit very still, I can hear the calls to prayer from three different mosques, weaving together like yarn. I made myself a cup of coffee, the local kind, dark and spiced with cardamom, about 10 riyals worth of beans that will last the week, and I opened the map on my phone. The route up into the mountains had been calling me since I arrived, and I wanted to see the lines on the map, the switchbacks into the Sarawat range, the promise of air that does not stick to your skin. There is a road that runs from Jeddah, past Makkah and Taif, climbing from the coastal plain into the highlands, and in summer it is the road the families take, the ones who can get away. I have been told, though I have not yet verified it, that Taif, at around 2,000 meters, sits in a kind of cool that Jeddah has forgotten, and that further south, in the Asir region, the mist can roll in over the juniper forests in the late afternoon like a second tide. I wanted to see that, to feel the weight of a woolen jacket again, but I also wanted to leave at the right hour, to drive in the cool of the night and watch the sun come up from a roadside rest stop. I marked a few towns on the map. Alila is for later, not for this trip, and I promised myself that tomorrow, early before the first prayer, I would begin the climb. But tonight, the city had its own draw, and I knew that if I stayed in, I would only be thinking about the heat out there. So I took a ride in a Karim, which came in about 5 minutes. The traffic was already beginning to thin toward the water, and I asked the driver, a man from Yemen who has lived here for 14 years, where he would go to feel the sea breeze without the crowd. He turned to me with a half smile and said, "The place by the Jeddah waterfront, near the Jeddah sign. You can walk for an hour and not hear a car." He dropped me at the corniche, and I tipped him 5 riyals because he had given me a gift. The Jeddah corniche at night is a different country from the one that swelters by day. The overcast sky held the warmth like a blanket, but there was a movement of air from the Red Sea, and the light towers along the promenade cast a soft, amber glow on the families walking, the children on bicycles, the vendors selling corn on the cob and sweetened tea. I walked past the sculpture park, where massive works loom in the dark like friendly giants, a bronze crescent, a geometric wave, and I remembered that these pieces were once the start of a public collection that has grown into an open-air museum along the whole waterfront. The admission to the sculpture park is free, which is rare in the city, and I've already spent more on coffee than on any museum ticket because the museums here, like the Tabat, cost around 30 riyals, about the price of a decent meal. I stopped at a bench near the Jeddah sign, the big illuminated letters that frame the skyline, and I watched the people. There was a group of young women, all in black abayas, laughing at a video on a phone, and a father holding two balloons and a very serious expression, and an old man selling dates from a cardboard box, the most beautiful medjool I have ever seen, at 20 riyals a bundle. I bought some, and I sat there with the warm, sweet fruit and the sound of the waves, and I thought about how much of Jeddah's rhythm is a matter of timing. The city does not hide from the sun. It simply moves around it, like a secret. Further along the water, Past the playgrounds and the food kiosks, I came to the Al Rama Mosque, the floating mosque, and though I've seen it before, I walked here on my second night. I wanted to see it again, because the evening tide was high and the building seemed to sit on a platform of black glass, the minarets reflected upside down in the dark sea. I did not go inside because the prayer time was near and I did not want to intrude, but I stood on the walkway and listened to the water slapping the stones, and I remembered that this mosque has become a kind of emblem of Jeddah, a postcard that people send home to prove they have been somewhere beautiful. I sat until the muezzin's voice came over the loudspeaker, and I felt the peace of it, the way the call to prayer can anchor a whole evening. I was hungry by then, really hungry, and I had been thinking about the food stalls in Al Balad for most of the walk. So I took another ride, this time closer to the old town, and I wandered into the maze of lanes, where the coral stone houses with their rawashin balconies, the latticed wooden windows that keep the rooms cool while letting the air and the light drift through, towered over me like a history I was still learning. The crowds were thick near Souk El Alawi, and I followed the smell of grilled meat to a stall that I had seen on the internet, recommended by someone who called himself a Hijazi food guide. I ordered the mutabak, the stuffed pastry with minced meat and onions, about 16 riyals, and I ate it standing at a plastic table, the juice running down my wrist, while a group of tourists tried to photograph the stall owner's very large wok. There was a chess tournament happening in the square nearby. I had read about it, the Jeddah Season Chess Championship, apparently running for a couple of weeks at the Culture Square in Al Balad, with a prize of 20,000 riyals for the winner. I saw the board set up under the lights, the players bent over their pieces with the kind of concentration that makes you feel the temperature drop a degree. I told myself I would come back to watch properly, perhaps with a coffee from a place on the edge of the square, but tonight I was still hungry for something sweet, so I found a shop selling the soup, The ride home took me along the corniche again, and I saw the King Fahd fountain in the distance, its jet of water climbing high above the buildings, a silver spine against the dark sky. The driver asked me if I had seen it up close, and I said yes on the first night, and he told me that the fountain pumps so much water that the government has to desalinate it first, which is an energy bill no one talks about. I smiled because he was the kind of man who turns small facts into stories, and I was grateful for the ride. When he dropped me at my building, the total fare was 42 riyals, about $11, and I tipped him 5 more because he had made the city feel smaller. I did not feel like going straight up, so I bought a bottle of water from the corner shop. 7 riyals for a liter, which I know is more than the supermarket, but it was midnight and the shop was open, and I sat on the low wall outside my building watching the street. A cat, a tabby with a torn ear, came and sat beside me, and I knew better than to feed it, but I let it stay. The night air, if it could be called air, was still thick with humidity. The forecast had said 32 degrees even at night, and I thought about the mountains again, about the mist I have not yet seen. I made a decision then, the kind you make on a wall at midnight. Tomorrow, I would begin the drive. I should tell you the practical things, because if you are thinking of coming here or of staying, you will want to know. The SIM cards, I got mine at the airport, an STC one, and the data has been fast and cheap. The taming of the paperwork has been a patience game, and the best advice I have is to get your national address done early, because everything needs it, from the bank to the SIM to the utility bills. The bank will take your Akama and your proof of address, and you will wait a while, but then one day, you will have a card that works, and it will feel like a small miracle. The rents in Jeddah are climbing, I am told, so a modest flat that was 2,300 a year ago might cost you 2,500 or 3,000 now. And you should budget for that, because it is a city that asks you to be realistic. I checked the road conditions for the Sarawat Mountain route before I slept, and the reports are good. The highways are smooth, but I will go slowly, because the switchbacks are best taken at a pace that lets you see the valleys. I called the housing office in Alula because I have a plan that involves that place, but that is a story for another episode. Tonight, I am still in Jeddah, and I have learned that the rhythm of this city is a gift to anyone who waits for it. The heat will not break for months, but the evenings are a secret I am beginning to keep. So this is where I am. 4 days in, the paperwork mostly done, the coffee turned cold in the mug beside me, and a rough map of the mountains on the wall. Tomorrow, I will drive with the windows down for the first time in days, and I will chase the mist into the highlands. I will tell you about it when I get there. For now, marhaba, and good night from a city that teaches you to move with the dark.